Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message. So, my kids, when they were young, played video games. Maybe just similar to some of your kids, they were totally into video games. And I'll never forget how they transitioned through sort of the phases of PS this and PS that, and that's PlayStation, in case you're wondering what that is. And I can recall those moments and times when, you know, the new system would come out, and one of my kids would say, you know, like, I'm not going to be able to survive without it. My life will not be the same if I don't have it. And so we would buckle and we'd go for it. Or the next new game that would come out, you know, like, it's like that next new one. It's like, are you kidding me? And then Christmas and birthdays, it was, you know, NHL this or FIFA that or motocross or whatever. And we were trying to stay up. And when they started earning their own money, it was brilliant because then we didn't have to buy them anymore. And then they would trade them in and upgrade. And I mean, it was just amazing. One of the games that they did play was a game, and I don't suggest this for little kids, is what is called Call of Duty. Anyone familiar with Call of Duty? Yeah, some of you are. Some of you probably still play it. It's an interesting game, and it's all about the battle. It's all about killing the other person. And every once in a while, I would stand behind the guys, and they were interactive. So they would actually talk to someone else who's playing this game somewhere in the world. And I can recall watching and listening to them chirp and all that kind of stuff. I would just stop them and say, guys, why don't you just make friends with these guys? Why do you have to kill everybody? Like, just go and be friends. And they were like, Dad, it's not the point of the game. The game is about the battle. It's about the fight. It's about killing. I'm like, okay, but we're a good Christian home. It's like, this is not cool. And they would end up chirping me and so on. So, Mother's Day, just a few weeks ago, all right? I'm talking to a mom out in the atrium. Now, I'm out of touch, just so you know, with all these games. A mom tells me about this new game that's out. It's called Fortnite. Anyone know what Fortnite is? Well, you do? Yeah, it's awesome. You're about to find out. It's the new battle game. It's the new war game that's out there. And she began describing it to me, and she got talking about it. She said, talk to your kids. They'll know it. I'm like, they're young adults. They're not going to know this. Was I ever wrong? Like that night, my youngest son, Paul, and his four buddies, they were over for dinner on Sunday night. And I said, hey, guys, you ever hear about this new game called Fortnite? And they were like, yes. Are you kidding me? We play it. We watch it. And they went on and on and on. Do you know that Fortnite, okay, you get a load of this. At any given time, there are 200,000 people watching other people play the game on YouTube. I was one of them this week. I got online and I started watching people play Fortnite. It's like 100 people, they get dropped. It's like the Hunger Games. You get dropped into this, you know, this island or this space, and they battle and they fight. And if you're alive at the end, you win, right? Do you know that there is a guy out there? He makes $500,000 a month playing this game. Some of you are just thinking, you just changed your career right now, right? Fortnite, what's that? Don't check it till after the service. I was amazed. Yeah, people just give him money, sponsorships, and he plays this game. The battle. It's interesting when you think about this. They've got teenagers and young adults and adults spending hours and hours and hours making lots of money on this particular game. But it's all about what? It's all about killing. It's all about the battle. It's all about survival. You know, it's interesting. As I thought about that this week, I began thinking about how that relates to the Christian faith. Now, you might sit here and you might think, wow, Ron, that's a pretty big leap. You know, Fortnite and Call of Duty to the Christian faith journey. That's a huge, massive leap. But is it? But is it? See, my thought this morning for us is that the Christian faith journey, if you are in pursuit of a vibrant faith journey, it is at times like a battle. It is at times where you will put your head down on your pillow at night and you will be exhausted. You will have the battle scars on your heart and soul. It's a very interesting thing when you think about it, because when you think about what it means to have a vibrant walk with Jesus, it's this idea of loving those who aren't lovable. It's about praying for those who would be maybe classified as your enemies. It's about reconciliation. It's about speaking truth. It's about all these things that are not easy. See, sometimes we have this idea that the Christian faith is all about, you know, smooth waters and bed of roses, right? I remember when my kids were little, they get an ouchie, and my wife, she would go and kiss the ouchie, and it would be all better. We have this idea that the faith journey, it's like faith is like kissing the ouchie. It's like it should make all things better. I have a friend from years ago that he was a coach that I knew, and he would say things to me about faith, and he would say, you know, Ron, anyone who needs faith, anyone who trusts in God is weak. It's someone who is looking for a crutch just to get through life. And he and I would have these dynamic conversations around this whole idea of faith being a crutch and for the weak. And it's interesting because when I think about the battle of the Christian faith, when I think about what it means, my mind automatically goes to a passage in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to these words. It says, a final word. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, or the church of Ephesus, sorry. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You know, when I read that, I almost feel like we should play the Gladiator theme song behind it, right? It's this idea of the battle that takes shape, that we're fighting against things that are unseen. It's not a crutch. It's not for the weak. Matter of fact, I would say this. If you are thinking that the Christian faith is about roses and puppies, I would suggest that maybe you not consider the Christian faith, because it is an enormous spiritual battle. That there are times when it is extremely tough and exhausting. That there are times when in this faith journey we wonder, will we survive because of the things that God calls us to be and do as followers of His? We're in this series, we're wrapping up this series this morning called Renewed. And it's a series built around this idea of renewing our minds. May is Mental Health Month, and we've been dialoguing about this topic for 4 weeks now. And I'm thrilled that we're doing this, because I believe that as the church, we need to be part of the dialogue. We need to be part of the narrative. We need to help shape this and help people walk through this area of our lives called mental illness or mental health. And what I love about this conversation for the past number of weeks is that we've not been trying to fix people, because it's not as simple as that. What we've been doing is we've been trying to speak into this area of our lives so that we can find some hope. But here's the thing I want us to consider this morning as it relates to the battle is this, that oftentimes mental health is a spiritual battle. We can't take the battle for our minds and separate it from the spiritual, because we are fighting against spiritually unseen things of this world that would love nothing more than to see you defeated. That would love nothing more than to see you battle worry, anxiety, phobia, grief, loss, whatever it may be, and would love to orchestrate the situation in your life so that you become sidelined and you're not in the game. I would present to you this morning that, yes, there is definitely the biological aspect of mental health, mental illness, but there is a spiritual dynamic to this that sometimes we don't pay attention to, and the battle is between our ears. And this morning, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what does it mean to go into battle for our thoughts, for our minds, because it's all connected. I love talking with therapists that are part of our community, and they talk about thoughts and feelings and actions and how those things, all the triangular shaped part of who we are, all fit together. And I love the fact that the Bible speaks so clearly about our thoughts and our minds. This idea of being renewed, there's a verse that we've been building this around. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says this: "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." See, this battle is emerging in our minds is this idea of being transformed into the person that God sees you to be. That the Christian message is about transformation. And he speaks, it's about the mind. And so what are we going to do to enter into that space today to begin the battle to focus forward? That's what I want to talk about with you, is this idea of training our minds to focus forward. I use the word training on purpose, because I don't think that this just happens, that there is a process and a discipline that we must go through. So for the next few minutes, just imagine that this is like CrossFit for your mind. All you workout nuts out there know what I'm talking about when I say CrossFit for the mind. So let's jump in and have a conversation about this morning. The first thing that I want to talk about in the battle for our minds, step one in our training, is this: grab a hold of your thoughts. Grab a hold of your thoughts. Now, this is interesting, because what I think happens to us in our journey of life, in our process of our thought life, is oftentimes we believe that we're just along for the ride. It's like you go through life and you strap into the roller coaster and you're just along for the ride when it comes to your thoughts. And so you strap in, you sit down, and they push the bar down over your lap, and you go up the hill, then you go down the hill, then you go up the hill, then you go down the hill, then you get twists and turns, and you're upside down sometimes, and you're right side up. I remember years ago being at Cedar Point, I remember strapping into the dragster one, and like it's like 18 seconds long, and waited for 2 hours, and it's like we're just along for the ride. It's like whoosh, up and twisting over and down the other side, and we're done, and we're like, oh, that was interesting, and we just feel like we're along for the ride. I am convinced that we actually have more control of our thoughts than what we realize, that we give ourselves credit for. I can prove it. You want to know how I can prove it? Let me illustrate it this way. If you've ever been in a heated discussion with a loved one, and let's just imagine it's your husband or your wife or one of your kids, and you are... This is just illustration purposes. I'm not saying this is what actually happens, but so you're in this and you're in the middle of it. This never happens in our family ever. And so we're like in the middle of the heat of the moment, and there's a defensiveness and there's yelling and there's, you know, people trying to get their point across. Nobody wants to admit they're wrong, and you're in the midst of it. And then the phone rings, right? Remember back in the day when the phone used to hang on the wall and have this cord? Some of you need to Google those pictures. What would happen? You go over, you grab the phone, and you go, "Hello? Great. Couldn't be better. Oh, we're great." Seconds before, you're in the middle of it, right? Seconds before, it's heated, right? You can switch it just like that. I've seen it, actually. I'm not going to tell you who, because she's in the room. But that's... it's going to be an interesting ride home today. Look at this verse. It's an awesome verse. Actually, no, I'm going to read it off the screen, I think. I like this version of it. Bring it up for me, Chris. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put on your hope in the..." You can read it for yourself. I can't read that far back there. What is it? Put all your hope in the grace of salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to you. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Now, this verse speaks to this idea of focusing forward for when Jesus actually returns, which is a beautiful truth of the Christian faith, that he's going to return and set all things right in creation eventually. And then he'll rule, right? But what I love about this idea is it's preparing your minds, right? Demonstrating self-control. There's another translation of this verse, and it's this. Are you ready for this? It's, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind." You just can't make that stuff up. gird up the loins of your mind. That's an older translation of that. This week, the challenge is put that into practice somewhere. Like, say it to somebody, you know? Like at work, at the water cooler, someone's got a real bad attitude. You just need to gird up the loins of your mind. What does it mean? What is it actually talking about? We need the context for it because it's actually very relevant. The girding up the loins of your mind is actually this idea that relates to what the people wore of the day in which this was taking place. What did they wear? They wore long robes, right? They wore robes that would dangle down around their ankles. And so if you were to actually try to move somewhere quickly, like, oh, you forgot something at the market, so you're going to run over to the market, you're going to pick it up, or maybe you're entered into a marathon, or you're going to go on a race or whatever, what are you going to do with the long dangly robe? You're not going to run with it down there. It's going to trip you up, right? It's going to get tangled up in your feet. So what do? You grab the bottom of the robe and you tuck it into your belt so that you're nimble and you can move and you can got pace and you can stay. You know, think of all this, all the things that come along with that. What is it? It gives you freedom, right? See, there are some of us that actually are allowing the dangly thoughts to restrict us from life. There are some of us that are allowing the dangly thoughts to restrict our freedom, to restrict the vibrant life that God envisions for you because the dangly thoughts are down below your ankles and you can't move. And what happens when the dangly thoughts are down below on the ground is you begin to pick up things like worry. You begin to pick up things like anxiety, depression, darkness, and the list goes on and on. See, so oftentimes we just think we're along for the ride and that I have no control over my thoughts. But the truth is, you do have control. You have the ability to grab your thoughts and tuck them in and say, these dangly thoughts, no more. I know this in my own life. I know perfectly well what this does to me. I've got a lot of insecurities in my life. I shouldn't say a lot. I've been working on many of them, but I've got a couple of insecurities. And I know what happens when the insecurity is the dangling thoughts in my life. I know what it does to me emotionally. I know what it does to me spiritually. I know what it does to the feelings and my actions. I know it restricts me. I don't have the freedom that is necessary to move through life because I've allowed them to dangle on the ground. I want to ask you, what's your dangly thought right now? What's that negative dangly thought that's tripping you up? You know, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm never going to get that job. I mean, the list goes on. How can I forgive that person? I'm hurt. I'm damn. It just goes on and on and on. See, some of us need to grab a hold of that thought and tuck it in and say, nah. I'm going to train my mind. I'm going to train myself so that I do not allow it to dangle anymore. I love what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's not going to come up on the screen. He actually says that we are to take hold, take them captive. Take your thoughts captive and beat them into submission and obedience to Jesus. I mean, you can't get any more graphic when it comes to the battle. It's like beat them into submission and obedience to Jesus. So when we allow Jesus to be the master or overseer of our thoughts, we become renewed. You're not along for the ride. Second thing, this in the training of our minds is that we need to fix our thoughts forward. We need to fix our thoughts forward. Listen to this verse in Philippians. Someone moved it. There it is there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you've learned from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. fix your eyes. So some of you follow me on social media. We got a new puppy, and she's almost 4 months old. Black Lab. She's awesome most days. She's such a cute little puppy, and it's our second one, and our second puppy, and we're going through the process of training this dog, right? 24/7, sit, stay, come, all that kind of stuff. Stop peeing on the carpet, those type of things. And so one of the things that you need to know about a black lab, about this little lab, is that they're very food motivated. Food motivated. So that's what we use for training. I got a picture I want to show you. She had to get in here somehow. See, that treat in my hand, she will not take her eyes off of it. She'll fix her eyes on these things. So I hold it like this to her. She's desperate. She wants to so desperately jump up, but I keep her to stay and sit and all that kind of stuff. And then I give it to her, and then she's off. When I think about the idea of fixing our minds on things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, things that are excellent and worthy of praise, that's what I think about. It's this ability to allow ourselves to find those things that give us life, that bring renewal. For whatever reason, it's so easy to focus on the things that are negative. You can go through the day and you can have an incredible day and people are positive and influential in your life and they've given you praise and you have one incident of a negative experience and that's all you think about for the rest of the day. It's this drift that we have towards the negative. There's no work in it, right? It's just simple. I don't know why it's like that. Maybe it's our own brokenness. And we got to get back to that place where you say, I'm going to fix my mind on the things that are true. Like, pick on that for just a second. Think about the word true. See, so oftentimes we allow false thought to come in, and that false thought begins to shape us. And then we begin to fabricate stories, and then we begin to worry, and then we find anxiety, and then all these other things come along. But then at the end of the day, we realize that actually what we were thinking about wasn't even true. Wasn't even based in any sort of reality. It was something that you worked in your own mind. Take self-image for a minute. Take how we see ourselves. There's times when it comes to mental health for some people, it gets very, very dark, and there is self-harm, and there is cutting, and there's food disorders, and there's an enormous amount that comes from just that space alone, and we begin to look at ourselves in a certain way that's not true. But imagine if over time we put into practice and discipline ourselves to hear things like, you are created in the image of God. You actually have the thumbprint of God on your heart and your soul. That He knew you as you were being formed in your mother's womb, that He gave you your gifts and your wiring and your passion and your purpose. Can you imagine getting up every day and seeing these verses on the mirror? And you begin to realize that there is a truth that speaks directly to who we are, that can transform and renew our minds. See, I think so oftentimes we think that we're just going to drift into these things, and I want to present to you this idea that we need to develop rhythms and patterns and disciplines that will bring about the renewal, and it takes practice. See what he said there? Put into practice the things that you have seen and heard from me. That's what Paul says here. Put into practice. Anyone who knows what it means to get healthy, to to maybe start exercising or start eating properly or whatever it might be. When I was like 38, so just about 12 years ago, I started formulating this new path of exercise. Man, it was so tough. But now I know how important it is for my mental state and my mental being as I exercise each and every day. And as I get into that space where maybe I miss it, and then I realize that that's a missing piece of who I am, I've got to get back to it. When I begin eating poorly, it's just getting back to the practices and the rhythms and disciplines. See, our minds are no different. So I guess what I must ask you is this: what are you fixating on? Your fear, your insecurity, your doubt, what is it that you're fixating on? My hunch is that those things, that battle, is going to take you away from the life that God has for you and leave you empty. Did you notice what Paul said at the end of that section? He says, then the peace of God will be with you. I mean, think about this. And I talked about this at week one. We are all pursuing peace. That's what we want in our lives, right? It's why we buy things. It's why we enter into relationships. It's why people do certain things, because they're in pursuit of peace. Ultimately, this is what Jesus did for us. Jesus was the one who came and he died and was buried and rose again so that we can have peace with God, so that we wouldn't have to pursue this on our own, that he comes and he gives us his peace so that we can be made right with God. When that begins to take shape in us and we begin to fix our minds on things that are true and just and holy and pure and so on and so forth, the peace volume gets turned up in our lives and the presence of God is more realized. See, that's the spiritual battle that we're in each and every day as we pursue this mental wellness in our lives. It's a spiritual battle. It is fighting sometimes for our lives. I recognize this morning that this conversation that we've been having now for 4 weeks is not going to fix everything. That was never our intent, ever. But the one thing I do believe that we've been able to do for 4 weeks is bring hope, to be the voice of hope in your lives. And let me say this as we close. If you are battling, or if you're in the fierce battle right now for your mind, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to reach out to somebody that you trust. I want you to go and say something to someone and say, this is what's going on inside of me, in my mind. Don't allow shame or guilt or embarrassment to be the dictator of your life. Take the courage and step into that. Find a trusted voice, a trusted ear, and speak to them. I don't think it's, I don't even know what I can say. I don't want you just to be great listeners this morning. I don't. I want you to experience the peace that is available. So desperately want you to know it. The other thing that I think is important is that this battle that you're in doesn't disqualify you from the love of God. See, I think so oftentimes we go through these times and we think, how can this be, you know? I'm a follower of Jesus, or I'm in pursuit. I've got a spiritual warmth in my life, and there's a piece of you that's going, this doesn't make sense, and how can this be? Maybe God doesn't love me, or maybe he doesn't care for me. And I want you to know that it doesn't disqualify you from the crazy love of God. And maybe today you'll give God a second chance with this crazy love. Listen to this song. Awesome. Let's stand together. You know, one of the things I love about our church is that we're continually trying to move forward, and we're continually trying to create an environment for you to link arms with other people and do life with. And if you're sitting here this morning and you've been around for a bit and you've never stepped forward, I would encourage you to do that. Just make yourself known so that we can begin journeying with you. You can go to the Next Step kiosk and you can give your information there. We'd love to be part of that journey with you. Also, when you leave this morning, you're going to receive these cards. Like Kath mentioned, That Neighbor, brand new series starting next week. And we're going to give you a few of these each. So please take these and think about someone to invite for next Sunday. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for today. And we just thank you for the conversation we've been able to have. And God, I can't help but think that you, by your Holy Spirit, have been working in our lives already this morning, that you've been taking these truths and you've been shaping and molding them just right for each and every one of us where we find ourselves with you. God, we just want to pray that each of us would have the courage and the boldness to step forward and to find that trusted ear that we could speak truth to and share with. And so, God, we thank you for that. I just pray also, Father, that as we take these next steps with our children's ministry this fall, that God, you would really just begin to shape and mold that in a very powerful way so we see the lives of children transformed even more as they journey in their own faith. And so we thank you for that. God, I pray that you give us the courage and the boldness to be the people that you call us to be this week in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, in our places of play. That we would live out our mission and our faith in a way that would raise awareness of who you are. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next week.